Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm going to start off with a little iambic pentameter tonight. Double, double, toil and trouble. Who will rise from the double eviction night rubble? We'll tell you. Plus, we're talking to a famous Big Brother super fan, as well as another former house guest from BB19. Welcome to the Big Brother After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I kind of sounded like the guy from the Den of Temptation. I was going for. I was
the tree is gone!
I was going for like a Disney Channel Halloween movie, but...
Oh, thank you, like Halloween Town.
Yes.
Thank you.
But much better.
Oh, right. Good. Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to BB19's After Show. I'm Bryce McClay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice. And I am joined by my co-host. She's back again, Morgan.
I'm back, guys.
It's really nice to see you.
Bryce, I know you missed me so much
last
week.
All right, let's pump the brakes. It wasn't that.
I know. There's some tears in his eyes right now.
Maybe a little bit. A little gleaning. Not sure.
All right, well, it's great to be back, guys. I mean, what a riveting double eviction. Just kidding. That was sarcasm. But you can catch up with me on Twitter at Morgan_Willett. And... next to me.
Yes.
Matt Eisman.
This is Matt Eisman. Not only is he a Big Brother super fan, he is a medical doctor, a stand-up comedian, the winner of Celebrity Apprentice, and the current host of American Ninja Warrior.
American Ninja Warrior.
This is Matt Eisman, you guys. We are so excited to have you.
By the way, what are you doing quoting Shakespeare after that dreck we just watched?
I don't know.
A rose by any other name would smell like shit. That was an awful double eviction episode.
It was terrible. It was really,
I was very disappointed. No action.
You guys, we're also very, very honored to be joined by, via Skype, a former... he may have been the first house guest evicted, but we all wish he was still in the game.
But number one in our hearts,
yes,
Cameron.
We all wish you were still in the game. This is Cameron Hurd, you guys.
What's up, everybody?
How you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I actually liked the episode. I thought it was awesome. I thought the veto competition was, like, exciting, and I thought the HOH was exciting. So I have a different opinion than you guys, but I didn't like the outcome.
Well, that's good.
Right.
Well, that's where I think we agree.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, can I say something? Cameron, with a little bit of scruff and that A's hat on, you look like a boy bander. And had you gone into the house with that look, because this was my theory on you, is as a super fan, I think you got lumped in with Ian and Steve, and so people viewed you as too big a threat because you looked so innocent. Had you gone in like, what's up, kids? I think I'm going to stay in there and won.
Yeah, you do look phenomenally different. Like,
rocking it, Cameron.
It's a little...
I was trying to get away from that, but you're only in there for 12 hours. You couldn't get away from that initial, you look like Steen and Eve, they already won. Let's get you out now.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys, we have a ton to talk about. It was double eviction.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I guess let's start at the top of the episode. Christmas was the HOH. He put up Kevin and Jason were on the block. And Jason got blindsided.
Never volunteer to go on the block.
Rule number one.
Why are they not learning this lesson? It's like, this is Groundhog Day. Every week, these house guests... are putting themselves in harm's way.
Right.
And watching it bite them and then going, well, it's not going to happen to me.
Well, these people think that going up as a pawn is like par for the course. Like, this is something that just happens in the game.
No. Well, the problem is everyone has this team mentality. Everyone's, well, this is a team game and I'm going to play for my team. I'm going to do my part for my team. One person gets $500,000. I'm like, when are they going to realize that? When are you going to play for yourself instead of being like, well, Josh and Christmas are on my team.
And Christmas said it. Kevin, you're going up because you're the one person who hasn't been on the block. other than Paul, yeah. who's pulling your puppet strings.
Seriously.
I don't think Jason knew he was going to be a pawn, though. I don't think he volunteered. It was Alex that volunteered.
Right.
He thought that it was going to be Raven. So I don't think it was Jason's fault that he didn't volunteer to go up.
But I thought that he was like, well, it's okay if I go up because he felt so confident in the plan instead of actively campaigning home. Or saying, guys, you know, to not realize that they've been targeting the showmances or couples, mm-hmm. I thought was a blind spot for that they didn't see it happen week after week and realize they're just getting picked off. And if you have a partner, you're next.
Yeah, well, that's interesting what you say. Cameron, do you think that it was a team mentality in there? Is that why everybody was crying this whole episode?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like nobody's thinking for themselves. I've heard do it for the team way too many times in this game. It seems like the only person that's playing for themselves is Paul, which is why I'm rooting for him now.
Really?
Because there's nobody else to root for.
Yeah.
But I'm also rooting for Josh because he's starting to come on to things.
Right.
But everybody else is, like, insufferable. I can't stand
them. Well, you were in the house at the beginning. What did you think of when Paul walked through the door? I mean, what was the initial reaction for you?
Initially, I was like, good, this is good, because he's, like, he should have won last season, and that's a bigger threat, like, everybody thinks that he would have won, and, like, he's a giant target right off the bat, so if I'm in trouble, I could just throw all that heat towards him.
Right.
But, like, that's what I initially thought, and then they gave him safety, which is ridiculous. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Cameron, I'm curious, had you still been in the house, would you have aligned with Paul, or would you have tried to, you know, get him out immediately like Cody did?
Yeah, I was actually pretty close with Cody, Mark, and Matt, just that first initial group. And they voted to keep me, and they actually made, like, an alliance, so I think I would have been in that alliance.
Okay. I wish you would have stayed. I would like to say that I had hashtag bring Cameron back this whole entire season.
I want you to also know that Morgan wants to be the president of your fan club.
It's amazing to see, and you know, obviously I've never been in the house, but to me as a viewer, it's amazing to me to see how seasons shift on little moments. And I think Cody taking that shot and having it backfire then put the fear of everyone where it's that thought of, don't take a shot at the king. If you take a shot at the king, you best not miss.
Yeah.
And that's why I think since they saw the backlash on Cody, everybody's been afraid. I mean, even Josh, had Josh played long and just put Kevin up, he'd probably still be in the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you make a move, even if it's not terribly bold, you do risk putting a target on your back if you're not playing it through a couple moves, which is what Paul has been doing.
Well, and that's
another thing, like, Paul did, like, or had, was he gave friendship bracelets right away, which you have 8 allies,
right.
And then you're safe for basically a month in that house. And if you're the only person that's safe, people are going to cling on to
you.
Yeah.
So that it's just a perfect storm just for him to, like, have all the power and people are going to him because he's safe. And if they want to be safe, they have to be attached to him.
And what's crazy is no one has shaken that. Where
right.
literally he is
yeah.
talking to them as though he is the boss, where he's saying things like, I've carried you. He's telling Josh, play your role.
Yeah.
Shut up and do what I tell you.
Them. Yeah.
I mean, things
that
should be such red flags. Where he's letting them know the hierarchy, it's not a partnership.
Yeah.
This is Paul's game, and the fact that they don't wake up to it, I mean, again, I think they're just afraid to go for it and miss and be the next ones out.
Well, what's also frustrating is that I was thinking about this tonight, is the fact that he is the only person in the house that can see more than one step ahead of
yeah.
himself.
Right.
Like, he sees so many different angles, and that's what should be playing the game. Or that's how all these people should be playing, but they can't even see, like, one step in front of them. It's like, here's the next move I'm going to make, and then I'm going to make...
Well, the fact that he's so comfortable throwing HOHs should be a red flag
right.
for them.
Yeah.
That he feels, I have you so under my thumb that I'm willing to give you the power to nominate me and tell you, no, 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 next week I'll get the blood on my hands.
Right.
But he never does.
It seems like everybody's plan is just to wait and see what Paul does and
right.
hope it's not them. And everybody's like, I'm fine with Paul taking control, as long as it's not me next week. And then when it is them, it's already too late.
It's too late.
Well, yeah. the question is, all these people are waiting for Paul, but do they realize they have to make an argument at the end to win against Paul? So
you keep waiting.
Well, you're going to get to the end and be like, oh, what'd you do in this game? Well, I sat around and I waited for Paul to win. Like, no, you're not going to win. Like,
no.
What is anyone's argument?
And it's been amazing for me for Josh to start to try to plant some seeds with Christmas
right.
and for Christmas to shut him down. and say that we can't have this doubt and to go Christmas. I mean, if you get to the final three, you're not winning those contests.
Yeah. But she seems to be okay with that. I was watching, I mean, she's fine with it.
I mean, I guess she'd get, I guess either one of them would obviously select her.
Because she can't play physically. She
can't play physically, but for the final two. So maybe her philosophy is like, look, my best shot is just to play for 50K.
Yeah.
On the live feeds, though, she said to the cameras that she was like, smile. She can't stop thinking about Paul.
Oh my gosh,
smiles
every
time she thinks about him. She's basically in love with him. So I think really Christmas is just in love with Paul. And it, like, Paul's manipulated her so much that it's like a love triangle.
She's blinded. It's just,
yeah.
Which makes sense, though, after seeing her do her confessional, which you need to watch, because it made me extremely
Although, I'm going to say, to me, this season of Big Brother has had something that I hadn't seen a lot before, and that was genuinely touching moments. And that was one of them. To see someone let their guard down and start to talk about this woman, and I don't know her past love history, but it sounded like she talked about having this broken heart. And this was a woman I think came in maybe a little damaged and was like, I think I'm falling in love with Paul. And I was like, it's genuinely sweet to see someone feel like this wasn't part of the plan. Mm-hmm. I'm falling in love. And I thought another moment was Cody with Jess. When they were talking and Cody's like, I can't love you the way you need. This is why I'm single, why I don't have friends. Where you saw this is a guy who knows I'm broken.
Yeah.
And you're the best thing that's happened
to
me.
When he's also willing to give everything up.
And it's not going to work. Yeah. I thought that was one of those moments where you just, that was such a human moment to see a guy who knows I can't help this.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to sabotage this and I'm enjoying it now. I just thought that was such a... It was rare in a game like this to get this really touching, honest moment.
Well, and even though I was making fun of it earlier, the fact that everybody was crying is kind of an endearing thought because they really do seem to care about
Big
each
Mark.
Other, you know? So,
like, Big Mark having this heart, you know, being this guy who's still, you see him, he's like, he's the bullied kid who lost his parents.
Yeah.
And he looks like the Hulk.
Mark.
No, he looks like the Hulk, and you're like, this guy is really sensitive. And I thought, you know, he was trying to play this loyal game. And again... It's not a game to be played. It's a game to win.
Yeah.
This is a game to win, you know.
Like, I like
people
the
get
tears,
indignant.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah. Cameron, what do you think about the men crying?
I think the most touching moment of the season was when Jason found out that he was going to
be that death. Was amazing. Yeah. That was really good.
That was...
Well,
that
okay, you guys, can we just talk about how Jason's face, when he found out that it was a tie, when he found out the votes were tied, his face went white.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it was, everything was said. I wonder, like, what do you think was going through his mind at that point? I mean, it's
a testament of how comfortable these people are thinking that Paul's their leader. Like, did Jason, I mean, Cameron, you probably know this, you watch the feeds, did he campaign at all to stay?
Hardly. Everybody is just like, well, if I'm calm, then they'll just get rid of the other person. So I just got to be me. And that's because Paul is just always telling them, bro, I got you. Have I ever lied to you before?
Paul said that
and
to Kevin.
He says that to everybody. And it's like eventually you're going to be the one that's duped. You got to play for your own game. And it's frustrating because I know that like so many people that would play their own games. And it's just we have these... like recruits in there that have no idea what's going on.
And I think it's a thing of, you don't even have to ask, are you voting for me? You just got to start going, what's next?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Take me out of this. What's next? Play it through. How does this win for you? How does doing Paul's bit? Like, you got to start planting that seed, and they don't do it until they're on the block and they're gone.
Well, or they
Josh
don't do it
is
at
the
all.
Only one that's doing it. Josh.
And Christmas is shutting him up.
I know. Yeah. Don't ever talk about it.
And I thought he had a chance. I thought he had a chance to shake things up. When he won the power of veto, and I guess he was just too afraid to put a target on himself.
Did you guys see that Paul was the last person to come into the living room.
Oh, he was in
everyone's
ears.
He was the last person to come in, and then Josh came in and was like, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 whatever, I'm not going to use the power of veto. That's what I thought was it. Like, what kind of MacGyver shit did he pull,
you know,
in that moment? Because there's no way that he didn't just, he sat back and just waited.
Well, let's run through this. If he does use it, then who's going to go up? It's going to be Christmas, because Christmas just got rid of Jason.
Right.
It's not going to be Paul. And Christmas is his only, like, his best ally in the house. So, but as much as I wanted to, I can understand why he didn't use it.
Yeah,
right.
I think this, what you have to do, if you're in that spot, is you have to like blow up Paul's game, say this is what's going to happen, right, or this is what's happening, use the veto, and hope that Alex wakes up in that moment.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It would have been the speech to say, this is our chance to take out the man who's running this, Alex. I'm going to give you the shot to put Paul up, and everybody, we can get rid of him and play this game and be the best person win. Otherwise, we're giving him this $500,000.
He was way too scared.
It would have taken one sentence, though, to be like, whoever gets Paul out of this game, that's your winning argument.
But
that's it.
But at the same time, people have said that throughout the season, and no one's listened. So
I don't understand it.
I don't know if somebody else, like, since it's getting closer to the end, would make it.
But for Alex to have put up Raven and Kevin, the two weakest players,
right,
like, again, even if you're just going to try to make a case of, look at what I did with my HOHs, you got rid of people who had no power.
Yeah.
Right.
So for her not to, and to have had the perfect excuse to come back at Christmas, you just took out my ride or die, sit your ass up there and feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Right.
You'll have a chance with the power of veto. Something I just thought, I thought was a sign that Alex had long given up on Jason and signed on with Paul for that final two.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think with Alex, I think Paul was probably the last person to speak to her. And I think that was, again, a testament to Paul being convincing and manipulating and saying, you know what, like, you're my ride or die, I'll take you, but, like, this is what I need. I mean, why else would she not put up Christmas?
Right.
It makes literally no
sense. No, that's what I was going to ask. Why did she not go after Josh and Christmas? What do you guys think? Cameron?
I just think that Paul just wanted to get out Kevin in that spot.
But then he didn't.
Yeah.
Paul may have done the math, although Kevin or Raven would work just as well, but where he feels, I can beat Josh and Christmas if we go to the final three. And he may just be like, those are the three I need to get in with. Mm. But Kevin or Raven has zero claim over him.
Right.
I mean, Alex or at that point Jason were the ones who've been beasts and should have been the ones.
But Raven would have done anything for Paul.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what threw me off, because I thought out of who he could sway or whatever and manipulate, Raven would be a much easier target than Kevin. So that's what threw me off.
Honestly, any of them will do anything for Paul. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't really matter.
So, Cameron, how can this change? Who do you see making a move, if anyone?
It's the only person that's thinking forward is Josh, and he needs to probably final three. He's got to do what Steve Moses did to Vanessa, and maybe that's the only opportunity you have to get out.
Right,
Or final four veto, you win the veto, and hopefully he's not the HOH.
If there's some way that Kevin could win HOH, I mean,
if Kevin
could win HOH and then take a shot this time around, but they'd still have to backdoor him because he wouldn't be able to be nominated at the top.
And you because of power of veto, you mean?
Yeah, but I also with Kevin said like two episodes ago that he still trusts Paul, and I'm like, how do you trust Paul?
Yeah.
All he does is tell you to shut the F up all the time. I mean, what are you doing?
But I think they get to the point where they're like, who else do I trust?
Right. Yeah.
And Paul already told Kevin to throw the next HOH.
Yeah.
But
hopefully, he regretted throwing the one to Christmas, the sprinting one that got him on there. Hopefully,
oh my God,
I'm thinking which by the way, that was the worst. That was the worst comp to watch. But I would think
I actually have
Kevin and Josh together, if they could just say we gotta take a shot.
I gotta.
That would be my biggest hope, is Josh and Kevin possibly getting Alex on board. I think they could maybe make an argument. Christmas will never flip on Paul, ever.
You guys, this is what Paul said about the HOH comp. He said, I literally can't believe I pulled that off. I literally got the one-legged girl to win a foot race. I don't need to even make a joke about it. This may be the greatest feat of all time. I mean, do you think it is? Like, I think,
you know,
it's funny.
I think it is.
When I remember Derek's season, and Derek, I thought, was one of the great players because of, you know, Paul's game was much more aggressive. I think Derek was so under the radar that no one even realized they were doing his ideas. But it did get a little boring because it was so predictable and by the book. And that was credit to Derek. And to a certain extent, as boring as I think it's been with Paul, I mean, the man has executed a strategy. Mm-hmm. I thought he was coming on way too strong early on. He was going to be a target. Right. Granted, the Pennant production bought him those 3 weeks. But after that, I'm amazed nobody took a shot.
Yeah.
Jess, when Jess had HOH, POV on the halting hex and didn't take the shot.
Jess, why?
I know.
Right.
Wait, so Matt, do you think that this season, because there's been a lot of, we've been talking about this, because I felt like it was so unpredictable at the beginning, and then it's been uneven. Do you agree with that? I mean, how do you feel about overall this season?
Yeah, and I think you can only do so much, and that's one of the things I appreciate, where people are talking about production, and you know, the reality is, look, you kind of have to give Paul some edge, because otherwise he would have gone home that first week. So I honestly thought production did a great job in terms of shaking up things on 19. Having the battle back, Cameron, which you came so close to winning early on. And I just felt like with the temptations that it was just enough to keep people from feeling like, I know how to play this game. Mm-hmm. And then I think you reach a certain point where Paul has gotten such good control that regardless of production's efforts, they just can't shake these players awake. And at a certain point, I'm like, that's just the nature of the game sometimes. Like, you tip your cap. It's not the most exciting. It's kind of like, you know, when someone's winning and they're playing a four corners offense in basketball, you're like, yeah, this isn't what I want to see, but that's what they should be doing.
Yeah,
and like, Paul is doing what he, like, you can't blame Paul for playing a game that is working tremendously to his advantage.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's what the frustration is, because everybody is just like, they just bow down and fall off.
yeah.
But is it though? I mean, do you think that they just get scared, like going, look, if I take a shot and miss, then the target's on me and I'm out. So let me just ride it out and maybe somehow I'll get a shot later. I think everyone's just waiting for that perfect moment and
then
it may
not
come.
Too late.
Well, what I want to know is, so Jason found out through Josh's goodbye message that...
Thank God.
That Paul has been orchestrating this the whole time. And again, his face was... thought he was going to kill someone. But I wonder, what do you guys think he's going to tell the jury? I mean, do you think he's going to go back, relay, and that this...
They already knew.
Yeah, I feel
they
like
already
they knew.
Paul was running it, right?
But do you think that he's going to go back? Package. I mean, do you think, I guess the better question is this going to be a bitter jury? Because we've had debates about this too. Are they going to be bitter, or are they going to say, let bygones be bygones and say, he played a great game?
I think they're going to just say he played a great game.
Right,
I don't think
that
they're going to be bitter. People don't like bitter juries. Look at season 14. Cody was saying that if Paul makes it to the end, he's going to vote for Cody straight up. So I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to come back. He's going to tell everybody, man, Paul is playing me. He's playing Christmas and Josh. He's going to win that. He's going to win.
Right.
And then Raven's going to walk in too and be like, I was with one with Matt and it was just,
oh my God.
Raven
is like, Raven said that her story was the reason why she got evicted, like, because nobody wanted to take her.
Did y'all watch her?
She's so delusional.
I was such a great
player. By the way, which story?
So well.
Which story, Raven? The pacemaker, Mensa? I can't keep up with this. So
guys,
let me
her
know.
GPA is dance.
Yeah.
Never forget.
Let me know which story it is.
I do agree with Cameron. I think that it's far enough out that all these people are going to have time to ruminate and talk about how Paul did it and develop a respect. And the other thing is, Paul has it. Like, Dan in season 14... Dan had his back against the wall. He had to play dirty and he had to be creative. Mm-hmm. But again, I still feel like if they'd had 3 days to sit and just ruminate, that they would have gone, you know what? Dan deserves to win this. Because the guy, we targeted him week after week and he vetoed. He did the funeral. He did what he had to do. He played a masterful game.
Well, it's kind of like what Paul did last season a little bit. I mean, he was targeted very early on for a long time on the block constantly. And, you know, I think that he obviously learned from his mistake and is playing a very different game, for better or worse. But I know you kind of have to give credit where credit's due. It's really annoying because it's...
Right, because you want so desperately for an underdog story or something like that.
Yeah, or you just want somebody to wake up and say...
Wait!
Yeah, hang on a second. You know?
But here's the other thing. I don't think anybody deserves to win.
No,
not anymore.
I agree with that statement.
I think it's and I always feel this in a game when people are like, you know, they played the best. I'm like, look, you can play great for 89 days. You have to finish it out. Mm-hmm. And so that's why there's still hope that someone can stage some amazing coup and pull it off.
But that's what would be amazing. I think that he, like, I think we've all talked about this, is the fact that if somebody gets Paul, if somebody targets Paul and gets him
they
out,
have my
they,
vote.
They have they right. that's enough to win because he's been orchestrating everything from the get-go.
Right.
Cameron, if you could tell one person, if you could get in the ear of one person in the house, who would it be and what do you think you'd tell them to try to shake him? Is there anyone who you have hope with?
Well, Josh already has like his suspicions, so yeah. I wouldn't talk to Josh. I would go to Alex because she is alone and she could flip over to Josh at Christmas if she had any outside information.
Right.
Like, hey, he's got like final three deals since the seven of you guys.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, I would talk to her and hopefully she would be like, Jason left, I'm all alone, and then piece it all together. But I don't have faith in her to see past what's been presented like right now.
Yeah,
that's I think the problem with these people. So Cameron, when you got evicted, you didn't go home right away. When did you know that you were going to have the opportunity to come back? And
I knew right away, but I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew that I had the opportunity to come back in, and this was the season of temptation, so there's tons of things going in my head. I'm like, what if there's a Pandora's box? They get like 10 grand, and I come back in the house, and I had no idea it was going to be a battle back or anything like that.
And that there would be double.
Did you go to Jury House? Is that where you went?
I don't know if I can talk about it.
Okay. I feel you on that one, Cameron.
Production.
That contract ain't no joke.
No, that's good.
That's okay. But so during the battle back, like, what was the feeling there? How intense was Cody?
Did you? He did not talk at all. I was like trying to like get any words out of him.
Yeah.
we observed that.
Right when I saw that it was who I was going against, I'm like, all right, it's down to me and Cody. There's no way I'm going to lose to Jillian or Dom. So, and they were asking me, like, who do you not want to go against in the battle back? Like, but before I knew anybody, and I was just like, not Matt, Mark, or Cody, because I had that previous relationship, and they all look like competition beasts. And then I see Cody, I'm like, fuck.
Well, you seemed to be in it to win. I feel like both of you are very like
intensely.
It was so close.
It was really good. That was
you did
was
a better job
so
than
good.
Paul did.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I still haven't seen that episode. That's the only one I haven't seen.
Oh, you need to go watch it.
Yeah, you do need to watch it. It's. I mean, I was just. We was really neck and neck. I felt like it
but
was
that,
very...
To me, that was like those were the high points of the season.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
What? No! No, it's Cody! And then Paul's fighting! Like, Paul and Cody are going head to head! What must be going through their minds?
Yeah.
That was a great episode.
How close was the Paul and Cody thing? Was it
I don't
close?
Think it was
it wasn't
close,
that close.
No.
Cody, Cody was...
kind of looked like
well,
Paul
Cody
threw
had
it a little bit.
Cody
yeah.
had experience, too. He had done that puzzle. Where
Well, he got to pick.
Yeah.
He got
so
to
he
pick
had,
the puzzle.
He kind of had it in the bag.
I mean, that was, I will say, that was one of the highlights of the season, too. I mean, those two, it was almost like a Machiavellian, like, Game of Thrones
type
fight that they were having between the two of them. Like, you couldn't imagine, and I have said this a million times in the show, but it's like the people, they're so opposite. Like, you would think that the villain would be someone, Paul, who's like a bearded, like a cartoon character. And Cody, the decorated Marine, would be like someone you'd be rooting for. And then
to have Jess win that HOH, that endurance one, as Josh is yelling at her as they're all heckling.
Yeah, that was terrible.
What did you think about the quote unquote bullying that's gone on?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
I would love to get your opinion on that.
Actually, wait, hang on. I have a quote. I have a quote from Julie Chen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Julie commented on bullying in the house on a Facebook Live yesterday with Entertainment Weekly. And she said, part of the game is that we don't interfere with what's happening. Anyone who we feel is getting bullied, they don't necessarily feel like it. They're just living Big Brother. If they're in the diary room saying, I can't take it, this is abuse, that's a different thing. No one has come forward and said that. We also see after a day a lot of self-correction. So sometimes it's us making a bigger deal, not knowing what it's like to be in that person's shoes. It's Big Brother. And that's Julie's Corner. That's our little segment.
Julie's Corner.
Where we talk about what she said in the news. But it does raise up a good point. So I would love to hear what you were saying. I thought we would just preface it with that, and we can all discuss
it.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of bullying. I don't understand the point of it strategically, socially. It makes no sense to me because if that comes out, you're a target from that mm-hmm. person. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of Alex constantly shit talking Kevin.
Right.
I wasn't a fan of everybody ganging up against Megan when I saw that. But it is Big Brother. You have to deal with it. You know what you're signing up for. You know you're going to be filmed all the time, and people are going to intentionally try and get under your skin to rally you, and that's just part of the game. So I think you got to take it for what it's worth in the house.
Well, do you think any of the house guests like have a case for bullying, or do you think somebody should have come forward?
Nobody in the DR has actually been saying, like, oh, I'm bullying for strategy. So I think they're all just...
Right.
It's probably just living under a microscope.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And exactly. It also could be editing as well. I mean, the way that they edit the show, the things that we see could be placed together. I mean,
but right. They did say they're doing it for strategy. I mean, Paul said... We gotta rattle Kevin. We gotta get in his head. I mean, that's where the comment
Cody,
came about. Like, what are the worst things to say? So again, like this goes without saying.
Cody.
Outside of the house, bullying is not cool. But inside Big Brother, I get it as a sociological strategy of I'm rattling someone's cage.
Right.
And where I thought it crossed the line was honestly the pots and pans. Mm-hmm. Like for Josh, who's a big guy. To slam pots and pans like in Mark's face, that's close to inciting violence.
Right.
And I did hear that was one thing production said is you can incite violence.
Yeah,
the bullying, I think it's unbecoming, but I get it as a strategy where when people get so angry, they make mistakes.
Right, I get it to an extent, but I guess me being in the house for Big Brother. I just think, Big Brother, leave the personal stuff at home. You know, we could have left out Cody's military. You could leave out calling Josh fat. There's so many ways you can get in someone's head without making it that personal. So that was kind of my mindset, give or take.
That's
my season was, it was nasty, but there were still
you were horrible, the things you said to people.
Guys, I was the worst. Like, our season, we did, like, things were said, but I don't think it ever got that personal. So I think that's just the issue people are having with this season, is it is just taking digs on outside lives, whereas Big Brother, you're just in that house. So, like, keep it in the house, you know?
Right.
But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest anomaly is Josh for me, too, because it's like he's bullied and he's been bullied. So I don't really know. I think the stuff... I mean, I know that Jess and Cody were also on that same path, but at least they were together. It's just, it's just a weird, it's got
to
be just.
It is amazing, though, the ability to flip, where Josh will go at people with pots and pans, and someone will cut him off in a conversation. He's like, why are you bullying me?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
He plays the victim.
He really does play the victim.
He plays it well.
And again, I mean, like, you know, having been in a little bit of isolation, Apprentice was a different thing. You always are somewhat cognizant of the cameras, but I think I also think when people online really object to it, I also feel there's a little bit of hypocrisy because they do watch it, and that's something that appeals to them too. And that's kind of like one of the things that I love about Big Brother is that we get this unfiltered look. To me, it's one of the great sociological experiments to get people into this house for 3 months with no outside interference or nothing to distract them, and to see how their minds work. And so I think that's part of it. You know, I think we sign up for the good and the bad and the ugly, and we want that honesty.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless it's inciting violence, as ugly as it gets, I also feel like that's part of what attracts us to it, is
absolutely
to see human nature working.
Absolutely.
Also, another opinion I have on the bullying is it also brings people together. Like, if you're all, like, ganging up on one person, it forms that tight bond.
Right.
So I could see that strategically. Like, if someone was like, man, Cameron's a fucking asshole. Look at that dork.
Well, Paul puts it on everybody but him, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
always
exactly.
Point the finger.
Yeah, it's a good...
it's working.
Good advice. It's good
Look
advice.
Where he is.
But, Cameron, so what do you want to see at the end? Like, what do you want to see for the end of this season? Like, you know, what are your thoughts? What are your predictions?
Well, what I want is anybody but Paul to win. But if Paul's in the final two, I want him to win because I don't want, like, a better jury. But I want some people to wake up. I really think it's going to be Josh and cut him as soon as possible.
Right.
So, but I want Josh to win. I hate Christmas and Alex so much.
Yeah.
I just cannot stand their smug, ridiculous attitude. Sorry, what?
I just said, can you believe Christmas has gone this far when you sat on the block with her in the first day?
She's...
Christmas loves Christmas more than Santa does. Like, Christmas is a big fan of Christmas.
Can we just talk
about how she told Josh not to come at him like one of those club hoes?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Christmas, where did that come from?
Yeah, they must have had some moonlight talks maybe about Josh's club presence.
It's because she's in love with Paul.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, I really think that is the root of the problem.
I think it would be great to see Josh, who, when he took that... I don't even remember that first challenge, the first HOA challenge.
He took the golden apple.
Yeah. And I was like, this guy, Target. He's a meathead. He's going home, the meatball. I would love for him to win and just be like, Paul, you played yourself, boo-boo. I think that would be a full circle. I said earlier, no one deserves to win. But unless someone steps up,
right.
Paul has certainly played the best game.
Right, absolutely. Well, Cameron, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate you coming on
the show. Cameron, this has made my whole experience. Yeah. Hashtag bring Cameron back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? I identified like your passion shone through for being there. And I think it was so disappointing that you didn't get a longer time in that
absolutely.
House.
Because
I know you would have appreciated it.
And it seems like you've gotten such an outpouring of support through it, like since you've been out of the house. So I'm sure that makes you feel good.
Yeah, I thought... After only being in there for 12 hours, I was going to come out to a lot of hate, a lot of, man, this guy is terrible. But it seems like everybody put themselves in my situation. Like, all the super fans were like, oh, that could have been me. That really, really
Well, to
sucked.
Me, that you chose competition and Christmas chose vote. Like,
right. That's a testament.
And how they didn't get rid of Christmas there was that we just telling that this group is not as savvy as I was hoping.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that Christmas didn't choose a competition. I'm still confused why she didn't do it. Yeah. Because we didn't have any time to talk. It was literally like, all right, you have this choice. Go into the
diary
room.
And you played. You played.
Yeah, you wanted to play.
Bless.
At least you were down to
play. The game.
Yeah, play
the game.
You're
on Big Brother. You signed up to play.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cameron, for attempting to play.
Yeah, thank you again. And thank you for coming on our show. We really appreciate talking to you.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast talking to you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Cameron. See you at finale. Cameron.
Later, Morgan.
Oh, gosh. That was nice.
See, our episodes
Morgan, are you,
might be
are
disappointing.
You, like, are you,
I'm very happy with
you've
our...
Gotta be,
I finally, gotta I got my guest.
You got to just be like your
I think it's always
full.
Cool, though, to talk to people who have the inside
so
of the game
yeah.
and people
no,
who
I know.
Have been
it's
inside
amazing.
And know the people, because again, even live feeding, there's a barrier,
right?
And it's so different playing a game, and that's the thing. We're Big Brother. We know everything that's happening. To be one of the people in the house who
yes.
doesn't know,
oh,
who
you
doesn't know,
nothing.
The blind
yeah.
side's coming. It's very easy to sit here and second guess, and I'm second, third, 17th guessing.
Well, and
I love
so many
doing
people
it,
in the house now. I mean, they have this perception of themselves and what the audience thinks that they are, whereas in reality,
right.
I mean, look at Matt and Raven, who are completely.
Oh,
they,
yeah. oh,
I think we've
been.
I was there,
be
and when Matt was. Like, Raven's a great player. We were all like, motherfucker! Like, we wanted to laugh so hard.
I was texting with Bill, who's been on our show. He's the audience guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Guy. And he's like...
Bill loved
and
me because I was giving energy.
Sure.
Billy, let's do this, buddy.
But he was telling me, I said, I swear to God, I heard like a gasp when they
Matt
said that.
Wait, did Matt get what was his applause
No,
because like?
They said, they go, look... And they gave us the speech of
yeah,
clap for the game, not the player.
Okay.
So you gave him the tepid applause. But as he was talking, it literally was one of those things. And you also, you had such respect of, I don't want to be the guy who's like, Raven sucks.
Yeah.
And be like, oh man, I'm manipulating the game. I don't want to contaminate the game just to let Matt know he's an idiot. So I think the audience, you know, everyone at home was like, tell him he's an idiot. And...
But he did say something that the audience that I was like, I swear to God, I heard them gasp. He said like, well, you know, as everybody can see on TV, like she's the greatest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, and like as everybody can see on TV, and it's like you
Bozo the clown.
Yeah, you have such a perception.
She's in for a rough time when she checks social media.
Yeah,
just happy.
Well,
you
that rough me syndrome.
Y'all follow Evil Dick on Twitter?
Yeah. What did he say?
His tweets are
he's
so
got
funny.
Issues.
What did he say? What
he's
he
got
say?
Him too.
He said Paul. He said something about Paul.
I hate these
today.
People. I'm
I just
not
know
watching.
That he's tweeted every video of Raven eating. Lord knows what she eats.
No.
But he constantly retweets his own tweets, so it just keeps showing up on my feed.
Oh my god.
But you know what? That's the great thing is you know, people knock Robin Cass. Cass did a great job. She brought people in there we care about, we love to hate.
I mean, everybody has an opinion.
And at a certain point, halfway into the game, it's beyond casting. Now it's just like, how can they play?
Right.
I thought they brought in some great characters.
Well, no one can get mad at casting because I'll admit, when I went through casting, I was very different. Everyone does a complete 180 when they walk through those doors.
Right.
So she clearly did a good job because they might not be playing, but everyone's strategy changes. So at least their personalities.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously were at a certain point where I had some like oomph
had
and wanted
some
to,
kind of strategy.
It's hard. I mean, I think again, and I give them the benefit of the doubt in that they learned their lesson from what happened to Cody and the people who took shots early on and got targets on their backs. Mm-hmm. And so I think for them, they're just responding to what they've seen of why am I going to take a shot and be the next one out?
Yeah.
And so, I again, it's one of those things. I think it's easy for us to do it, but you've been in the house where sometimes you're like, just survive. Just survive another week, and who knows what's going to happen.
Everything just changes. And it also, see, my strategy, I was like, I'm going to line with every guy possible. Like, and then you get in there and you're like, these are the people. Like, everything changes. And, I mean, I had a vet, too.
She was being nice. She was aligning with us earlier. It was just BS.
No, I know, total BS.
It was just BS.
She wanted to have her female line. You're usually always the only girl here.
Girl power.
Right. So she's like, I'm always with one of the guys.
That was interesting though. In Apprentice, it was a really different vibe.
It was
for the guys and the girls. Yeah, that I think the guys.
Was there anybody that was like really like hard, like gun, like pounding the pavement, like?
Everyone was playing pretty well. You know, I was shocked because in previous seasons, I think people were mailing it in, like Gilbert Gottfried, who just was there to kind of get a couple jokes in and leave. But the thing I saw was the women had a much more difficult time working together and then dealing with failure.
Well, and that's we've talked about this for weeks.
And the guys, it was like, fuck you, fuck. Can we curse?
Well, yeah, go probably for
it.
Not
F you, F you. And then it's like, all right, it's done. And it would be done.
Well, and that's the issue with Big Brother, too, is females, which is why it was so rare on my season, because females did work together, and it works if you can do it, but girls don't like to work together.
Yeah.
But if you could put aside all your petty problems and be like guys who can punch each other in the face and move on, I mean, we'd see a lot different games.
Right. Well, Matt,
girls just suck.
I want to know how you became such a big, huge Big Brother fan. I think a lot of people want to know that.
So, one of my best friends in the world was a producer on Ninja Warrior, and he got a job producing on Big Brother in season 14. And I'd never watched a show, and I'm like, I'm going to watch one episode for you. By the end of the episode, I must have texted him 57 times. Like, I can't believe these people. Jody was the one who went home. She was, I think, earlier than Cameron, like the first exit.
Yeah, she was.
I was just hooked. And to me, it was just, like, Ninja Warrior is my show. I love Ninja Warrior. But this is such the antithesis of it in that, you know, we celebrate this accomplishment, this challenge, and everyone can win.
This is
my good one.
So this is a video. Why don't you set this up?
This is at the end of not this most recent season. So this is actually 2015. So this was the year that Isaac and Jeff won. And so this is how I ended the season. This is the 10th obstacle there on stage one, and I'm showing my athletic ability here.
Rolling.
This is how you end a season of American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, and gosh, so we shot five nights in a row in Vegas, like 100 degree heat.
Oh my God. This is all I want Julie Chen to do. Like,
Julie Chen would never.
But then the next year I tried it. I don't know if they have the next video. The next year I tried it. It did not end so well. And that's what
I think I saw that. No, but this is obviously, keep going, sorry.
So for me, Big Brother, though, I do just love the fact of watching people try to play chess, you know, with each other. And it's poker without cards. And it's, can you read this person? Can you trust this person? And I mean, to get to see Dan's funeral in that first season and see a guy who was done, who everyone agreed was going out, and in a single move, he shook up the house and got his biggest enemy out. And I'm like,
that's what
I love about this game, is that it's just, it's words, it's strategy, it's playing on people's emotions. And it's something I love to watch it. And that's what early on I thought we were going to see. And that's why these past few weeks, I appreciate Paul's gameplay. I've been disappointed because I love the strategy, the blindsides. I love when people don't see it coming and HOHitis and they think we're in power, we're calling the shots. And Paul has kept himself in the HOH mm-hmm. without even winning.
Yeah.
I just love the gameplay that goes on.
That's how my brother was. He started. I had him watch like the first episode, and I thought he would never watch it.
Yeah,
and he's like completely hooked. It's like it's insane.
But it's like anything. It's football. It's like calling an offense, you're calling a defense, and it's chess, it's checkers, it's just. I think it's distilled down human nature, and that's why I think it's so good. And you know, people. I think production does such a phenomenal job of just putting people in there and shaking them up and just go.
Well, so at the beginning of the season, who do you think had the most potential?
My picks, initially, I thought Jason, because I thought physically he's going to be strong. I thought he was so gregarious. Meg, I thought, was going to be really good, too. I thought she was going to be a Derek coming into it.
Interesting.
This was before I knew Paul was coming in. But even when Paul came in, I did not think he had the strength. Early on, I thought Alex and Christmas. Christmas was another one who I thought
was
going to be
a
physical beast, but I thought she was going to be, you know, I saw the interview with Jeff, and I'm like, this girl's got some charisma. I didn't realize she's just a little, I don't know if it's petty or something.
Well,
she
started out not like that. Like, yeah. I really liked her the first couple of weeks, and it's, now I see some of the stuff she does. Like, once I saw the way she acted towards Josh, where it was like she was his mom, I was like, you're like, I can't root for you. I
don't feel she's sincere. I don't feel she's sincere. And the other thing is just talking about how amazing she is. Well, Christmas is just going to keep fighting. I'm the queen of no quit. Like, oh, really?
But you've had everything thrown to you. That's why you're HOH.
So Josh has grown on me a bit because he's being a little more savvy. And But of the players remaining, I think Paul's, you know, to have finished second last year and to be well on his way to steamrolling this year, you know, regardless of what you say about the other players, the reason they look that way is largely due to Paul.
I agree with that. As much as I don't want to agree with that.
No, I mean, it's true. That. You know, I mean, you have to. Okay, I have to ask, what is Arnold Schwarzenegger really like?
I freaking loved him.
Do you?
I loved
him.
Did you? He was amazing.
Very
jealous. I mean, he really is. He's just the most, he is the most interesting man in the room. He's so intelligent, and he's just such a positive guy. And obviously, I'm biased because he chose me. But like
right,
we've
that's
done,
good.
I just did his 70th birthday party, and like Sylvester Stallone is there, Tom Arnold is there, and James Cameron comes out.
Oh,
and like at one point, I'm getting in a conversation with like artificial intelligence in computers with Cameron. I'm like, so you know, you came up with Terminator and Skynet, coming to life. And what do you think about you know, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg? He's like, I made it all up.
Oh my god.
Of course you did.
Oh my god.
Schwarzenegger's great. I think he's you know, he's a self-made man. And I just thought it was so much fun to work with him you know, he's no longer doing Apprentice, but I'll always call him boss.
Right.
So whenever he calls, I'll come running.
Well, I wanted to also congratulate you on your Emmy nomination for Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Awesome. It's great. We're going to be doing the spinoff Team Ninja Warrior, the show on USA Network. We're going to be shooting that. Looks like probably in October.
And you've been hosting it for 8 seasons.
I've been doing 8 seasons, 8 of the 9 seasons.
What's the best part of it? What do you like so much?
Honestly,
about
it's been getting to know the ninjas. And honestly, what's so cool is like we just had a story about Lance Peekus, the cowboy ninja, wife has multiple sclerosis and is not doing well. And I've known Peekus for 5-6 years, and I found out about it, I think, at the end of last year. And it's just one of those things like you know, you get to know these competitors pretty well. We follow them on social media year-round. You get to know them, and you just see, you never know what people are going through. I mean, it's given me such a sympathy. Flip Rodriguez, when he talked about being sexually abused. These athletes, I cheer for them. I appreciate their passion and their dedication that year-round, these people are willing to work so hard, and that's what gives us this show.
Yeah.
And the fact that then you get these people coming on, I mean, the stories we've told this year are just, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And so I love, as someone who loves sports, I love, you know, when Casey completed the Warped Wall and then the next night completed the city finals course, you know, you're like, man, I'm getting to watch a big moment.
Yeah.
Like a really big moment, or seeing Jesse Graff complete stage one. And it's a lot of fun to see them. For me, it's cool to see people have a moment where I go, I know they'll remember this moment for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, even in Big Brother, too, I mean, it's kind of amazing the feats, the things that you're willing to do, I mean, for whatever it is. I mean, whether money or your...
And how much you grow in the show. Like, Apprentice, from the first week to the final week.
I'm sure both of you guys have, like, completely changed.
What you learn, you can do and handle, it is a tremendous growth experience.
That's why I say I would always do it again, because you learn more about yourself in 65 days, and you probably could in your whole entire life.
Yeah.
So, what's the biggest thing that you took that...
I think for me, it was the relationship with my sister, because we weren't close before that. Everyone's like, oh, y'all were lying. You're lying. And I say, no, we really weren't. We were very opposite, and now we're best friends.
Just you mean like in close meaning like you just didn't...
We were opposite. We never kind of, were different hung and diverging out. Interests. Different. Yeah. We didn't talk, and being thrust in the house and being like, you're my blood, and I should appreciate you. And I learned, like, this is my sister. Like, I've got to, you know, appreciate her and be in the house.
I hope your mom is watching.
Yeah. Mom! Oh, we gave her so many shots. My mom's like, thank you, CBS. Y'all are a godsend. But no, it was great, and we're best friends. And, I mean, I learned a lot. You learn to persevere, and I'm sure you can attest to that. You learn that it might be the hardest day of your life, but you're going to push through that. And I made it to the end, and that alone, I was like, I did it by myself. Mm-hmm. So it was a proud moment.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, it's time to wrap up. But Matt, we thank you so much.
I loved it.
So much
this
fun.
This is such an honor.
Are you guys going to the
finale?
We're gonna try.
We're gonna try something. but really, we really, really appreciate you coming in and taking your time.
You guys
can watch American Ninja Warrior on Mondays on NBC.
Watch the after show here on AfterBuzz.
Yes, you guys do after show.
Oh, by the way,
after show.
I want to say hello to Maria and Kevin and just say I'm sending the best thoughts. I love you guys.
They're amazing.
I know you're going through a tough time and you know, all good thoughts.
They really appreciate that, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, you guys, you can continue to send us your favorite moments, questions, comments to using the hashtag @BuzzBigBrother. I can't even talk anymore. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @BryceAdvice.
You can follow me on Twitter @Morgan_Willett.
Matt, where can they find you?
At Twitter @MattEisman, ISEMAN.
And you can...
Maybe in Celebrity Big Brother.
And we also want to thank Cameron so much for Skyping in. You can follow him @CameronHurd210.
Yeah.
That's right.
There we go. Yes. Good call.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Big Brother.
For hopefully an exciting episode.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.